CTV.
I'm not an Acts 28:28 guy. I'm a Matthew 27:51 guy. Yeah, whenever you hear somebody talking about Acts 28, of when Israel was cast aside, temporarily cast aside, whenever somebody talks about that topic, and they start giving you the Acts 28:28, the late date of Acts 28:28, this is how you counter that. You say, I'm a Matthew 27:51 guy. That's many, many, many years before Paul's in prison as an old man with a long white beard in Rome. What happened in Acts 27:51? The veil of the temple was torn in two. What do you think happened to Israel's entire worship system at that time? Well, I know they probably sewed the curtain back together and were back in business, but their house was left to them desolate. This is Martin Zender, and I'm glad you're here at MCTV. We need each other. We need each other. I think this microphone needs to be down a little bit. Well, we need each other. That's why I'm here, and that's why you're listening to me now. I'm going to deal with something I've dealt with many times before, but I have a new thing to add to it, and I think you're going to like it. It has to do with God blaming people who he hardens, right? The big thing nobody can understand. You understand it, because once again, I have the smartest audience in YouTube, but of course, Christians don't understand it. But even some in the body of Christ have said, I don't like how God judges people, that he makes them the way they are. Why should they be judged when he makes them the way they are? This goes back to Romans chapter 9. We talk about vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. God's the potter. Humanity is the clay. And God is the one who makes everyone the way he wants them. Let's just go to the passage. I've read it to you many, many times. Going to read it to you again right now. And you're going to see something that you've never seen before. So Paul in Romans 9 has just gotten done saying that God is merciful to whom he is merciful. He does what he wants with whomever he will. And the fact that Paul's audience grasped that fact, they grasped the truth that God is the one who makes people the way they are, both vessels of honor and dishonor. To prove that they grasp it, Paul preempts their protest. And this is a protest that still comes today. And I've told you before, it's so interesting and a little bit amusing that people bring up this protest. And they don't even realize they're quoting the protester of Romans chapter 9. But they are. And they quote him almost verbatim. Here's how Paul launches on this topic in verse 28. Consequently, then, to whom he will, he is merciful, yet whom he will, he is hardening. You will be protesting to me then. Paul anticipates it. Why then is he still blaming? Going to look at the word blame. I don't think I've ever done that before. It's going to make it clear to you, clearer than it ever has been before. For who has withstood his intention? Nobody has withstood his intention. That's a rhetorical question. No one has ever withstood God's intention. And Paul is upset at the very suggestion that people are questioning God. Oh man, who are you to be sure who are answering again to God? And he talks about that which is molded, protesting to the molder, which is ridiculous. All right, let me run something by you. Well, first let's look at the definition of blame. This is going to help you. Blame in a concordant version. Well, the definition of blame in general is to find flaw, to find a flaw. So why is God still finding flaws with people whom he makes flawed? Why? The answer is so simple. Because they're flawed. He finds flaws in them because they're flawed. And what do you do with a flaw? You fix it. You fix it. Now here's the new analogy. Let's say there's a guy in Alabama who gets, in the middle of the night, he gets sucked out of his house by an F5 tornado. Sucked right out his window while he's sleeping. Didn't catch the news. Didn't know there was a funnel cloud spotted. Didn't know there was a tornado on the ground. An F5. So off he goes out the window and he lands in a tree. And he's got two broken legs. The guy's lucky if you ask me. Only two broken legs? Fantastic. This guy had a good day. It was a good day for that guy. So what do? When they find him in the tree and they realize he's broken both his legs, they take him to the hospital. Well, why would they? That's not fair that he should have to go to the hospital. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault he got sucked out of his house by an F5 tornado. He was sleeping. He wasn't watching television. He didn't know. Don't take him to the hospital. It's not his fault. Who says that? Nobody says that. Nobody says that. Because the issue is not how it happened. Somebody with two broken legs has to go to the hospital and get their legs set. Some doctor or nurse might ask out of curiosity, what caused this? What caused your two broken legs? But let me ask you this. Would their care, would their fixing of the legs be affected by how the legs were broken? If the guy said, well, I hit myself with a baseball bat. I did it myself. Oh, okay. They'd still set the legs. Or if he said, I was run over by a bus. Or in this case, I got sucked out of my house by an F5. Are they not going to set his legs in that case? You know what they call her? You know what even Christians will call tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes? Acts of God. Oh, wait a minute now. Here's an act of God, a tornado that God made, the tornado. Some people don't like to say that. Okay, I'll give you this, let's say. I'll even give you this. I believe it's more than that, but let's say that, you know, God sets the laws of nature in place. So he's responsible for them. So he's responsible for whatever crazy laws, meteorological laws, physical laws, create this vortex. He's totally responsible for the whole thing, including the wind speed. It's not like God created the elements of the atmosphere to accommodate tornadoes, and then somebody tells him, God, don't you know how fast that wind's going in the tornado? This could cause some damage. And then God reacts, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, thanks. I didn't realize that I had set things in motion that would move so fast. No, it's ridiculous. Of course, God's responsible for it. See, these are the kind of people that look at Isaiah 45:7, I create evil. God says, I create good and evil. And they don't like that. So they go to something like the NASB translation, I think it is, which says, I create calamity or I create disaster. They think that that somehow waters down evil. It doesn't. Disasters and calamities kill people. A disaster is evil. A calamity is evil. Well, God doesn't create evil, but he does cause calamities and disasters. Come on, you know. But I'll even give you that. I'll even give you that. So God, of course, created all the elements that cause earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and so forth. Even insurance companies call it an act of God. Now, if the guy had hit himself with a baseball bat, they would not call that an act of God, even though we know it is. I was struck down by an act of God. Oh, really? What happened? I hit myself in the leg with a baseball bat. That's an act of God? Yes, because all is of God. I like this guy already. See, he's going to the absolute viewpoint, which sometimes is not helpful, but there it is. So it's irrelevant how this man broke his legs. The fact is that a person with two broken legs needs to get them set so they can mend, so he can walk again. Now, here's a good point, if I don't mind saying so, and I don't. You take the guy to the hospital, and who heals him? How does the leg mend? The hospital people don't do it. They just have to keep it still so that God can mend it. So an act of God caused the man to fly into the tree, and an act of God, the same God who invented the tornado that put him in the tree, the same God heals the guy. I got a verse for you. Deuteronomy 32:39. See that I am He. This is God speaking, not me. I am He. There is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. I make sure on occasion that some people get sucked out of their houses by an F5 and thrown into trees where they break their two legs, but then I fix their legs. But God, why would you do all that? Sounds like a lot of trouble for you. A lot of trouble for you. What does God say? It's the experience, the necessary experience of good and evil. And God is so gracious in providing this necessary experience that ensures one's eternal happiness. God makes sure that He takes care of both ends. He's not gonna leave it for somebody else to try to finish what He starts. He starts it and finishes it. This same God that kills makes alive. Why'd you go to the trouble to give this person the thrill of resurrection? The death is temporary. The resurrection to immortality is permanent. It's permanent. He'll fix you permanent. That was Mick. Mick from Rocky. Okay. There you go. And to assure that the whole situation is done right, God does both ends of it. Just like Israel's new covenant, where God fulfills His part and their part. Now we go back to Romans 9. Why is God still finding fault? You see, people have a people don't have any problem with the tornado scenario. They have no problem with that. Well, it wasn't the guy's fault, but he's still got to go to the hospital. Okay, there it is. It's not the vessels of dishonor's fault. It's not their fault. It's an act of God. It's a tornado at their birth, let's say, that causes them to be vessels of dishonor. It's not their fault. Just as the guy getting sucked out of the house by the F5, not his fault. Nevertheless, somebody who gets mangled in a tornado has to go to the hospital. And now, people who are flawed, people who are dishonorable, they have to go to God's hospital. Most people don't think of God's judgment or God's blaming. They don't look at it as God's hospital. This is where God fixes the people. Whether it's at the great white throne, the judgment there, or maybe He'll do it in this life. But let's assume that vessels of dishonor die. Vessels of dishonor, the next time they see the light of day, is at the great white throne. And there, God points to their flaws. Why is He still blaming? He blames. Because the issue at the great white throne is not, how did this happen? It's not. Because everybody will be savvy at the great white throne. Everyone will know God caused it. But we know from reading earlier in Romans that God raises up vessels of dishonor for His own purpose. It's not fair. Of course it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that you're a vessel of honor. It's just God's choosing. Simple. No difference between you, I mean, in your essential elements. He takes from the same lump of clay, Romans 9, the same lump, one vessel for honor, one vessel for dishonor. It's not only not the fault of the vessel of dishonor for being dishonorable, it's not the credit. It's a two-way street. It's not the credit of the vessel of honor that he or she is a vessel of honor. It's all of God. Oh, what do you know? That's a scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All is of God. That's handy that I had that verse available to back myself up. So the vessels of honor get rewarded for stuff they weren't ultimately responsible for. And the vessels of dishonor get blamed and then fixed for things they're not responsible for. The Great White Throne is God's hospital. What do you mean, Martin? He's judging. Yes. And let me mention this to you. When somebody is taking somebody else to court in a civil case to get money from them for some offense that they caused, the judge makes a judgment. And the judgment is he's going to award this person $100,000. That's a judgment. We're always stuck on this idea that judgment is always negative. No, that would be down judgment. See, there's two words for judgment. Krino is judgment. And you put a prefix in front of it, katakrino, and it becomes down judgment. But people aren't down judged at the Great White Throne. They're judged. Now, after they're assessed, it may be then that they're down judged. They go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. But then after the fifth eon, death is abolished and they come to life at the consummation. So that's not fair. It's not fair that we get in early on God's life. But the issue is not what caused this. I told you God has a big problem and that he causes everything. Everything is of God. That's his problem. It's a problem. Because how does he still deal with people who need who he put in this system of contrasts and he has to educate them through it with their ultimate good in mind? How can he do that? How can he let those people go on their own when he controls everything? See, he can't not control everything because he's God. He can't not be sovereign. Because all is of him. Romans 11:36 goes along with that also. All is out of him, through him, and into him. So no complaints about the guy having to go to the hospital. It's good he's going to the hospital. Doesn't matter, does it, that it wasn't his fault? So why does it matter at the Great White Throne that it wasn't these people's fault? Why does it matter? It's not their fault. Okay, but you still got to fix these people. You have to fix them. And it's true. The problem is you have to fix them from what God did with them. They have to be fixed. And that's the stumbling block people have. But these people, the only way you could stumble at this is if you don't realize God does everything. If you realize God does everything, you know that, well, he has to judge people who he makes hard because he makes everybody the way they are. I mean, I'm going farther than Paul went. Paul just says, who are you to question God? Again, I get this argument all the time. Why does God still blame people he makes hard? And again, people don't realize they're quoting Romans 9. It's almost hilarious, except it's sad and terrible, which is the opposite of hilarious. Paul doesn't even go to the trouble that I'm going to now. He just says, who are you to question God? How dare you, basically? How dare you? At least the objector of Romans 9 understands the facts. Because the objection would never come up unless the objector understood exactly what Paul was saying. Paul, you're saying that God makes people who they are. Christians can't even make this objection because they don't believe God makes people the way they are. They believe that people form themselves. Yeah, the clay forms itself somehow. The inert clay forms itself into whatever it wants to be. That's called free will. That's what Christians believe. It's the opposite of what Romans 9 is saying. So in Romans 9 and at the Great White Throne, nobody cares how people got there. We know. Most people don't. The people will understand that later. We understand it now. But the fact is that those who have been used as vessels of dishonor need fixed. The Great White Throne is God's hospital. He first has to find the flaw, never mind that he caused it, then he fixes it. Aren't you glad you're a vessel of honor?